Roy Jones Jr. joins us on Sports Byline USA. He captured numerous world titles in the middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, and heavyweight divisions. He's the only boxer in history to start his career as a light middleweight and then go on to win the heavyweight title. He also won a silver medal at the 88 Olympic Games in Seoul, Korea, and he was named Fighter of the Decade for the 90s. You know, when I look back at all the titles that you've won, I wonder how hard it was for you or any boxer to go from one division to another division to another division. What do you have to do both physically and mentally to be able to step up in divisions, Roy?
Well, physically, you got to be able to maintain your body composition and be able to maintain your strongest attributes, not be weakened by the gain of weight. Mentally, you have to be a champion at heart, a champion in mind, a champion in every way you think of, because if you don't think you're the best, then how does somebody else think so? And not only that, you have to think you're the best, you have to be willing to go to whatever measure to prove to someone in a high weight class that you are the best.
Well, what type of studying did you do and your management team do before you guys decided to step up from one division to another? Because obviously you have to kind of scout the division out, see who the competition's going to be, see what you have to do in order to beat that competition in that weight division.
To be honest with you, that never happened. What I did was, once I got in a weight class, I felt like I cleaned the weight division out, I started looking up the next weight class to find out where the challenges were. Wherever the challenges were is where I went. So if I felt like there were no more challenges at the super middleweight division, I moved to light heavyweight to challenge the next best fighter. And then when I feel like I had conquered the light heavyweight division, there was no real cruiserweight that they thought a lot of, but it was heavyweight. And I said, you know what? Only one guy in history ever won the middleweight and heavyweight title, so why not go do that? So I never strategically moved up and studied fighters to see if I thought I could beat them before I moved. I moved before I even thought about who was up there. And if whoever was up there, I went go get them. I didn't care who the best was, and I didn't study them before I made my move. Once I decided I want to go, my weight class was empty or needed more competition, I said, well, more competition, got to get the next weight up, so let's go. Then I decided who I'll fight as I got there.
Always one of the challenges of stepping up in weight is if you add the weight, will you lose the speed, the hand speed, the foot speed, the body speed, and everything? How did you counteract that possibility?
That was not a possibility anyway, because I wasn't gaining fat. The only time I really gained a lot of weight was when I went up to heavyweight. What ultimately happens is when I came down to make middleweight, I came down from light heavyweight to make middleweight. So when I stopped at super middle, I had already been making super middle too. Just now, I can stop my trimming down process at super middle instead of coming on down to middleweight. So it was not really a big process, and I knew I could operate that weight class because I had to come down past that weight class on my way to middleweight every time.
The only time
it became suspect was when I went to the heavyweight division because I had never been that big before.
Roy, one of the things that I always admired about you is you seemed to be able to throw a switch when you stepped into the ring, but yet when you stepped out of the ring, you were able to take a place in society, and that's not something that's always easy to do. I know I've talked to NFL players, and they tell me that when they go on the field, they have to throw a switch to go to another level, but it's hard sometimes when they come off the field to take that human level again. Tell me why you were able to do it, and what are the challenges of doing it for a champion fighter?
You got to keep God first no matter what you do. So when you keep God first, all the rest doesn't matter. When you keep God first, it's so much easier for you to focus on being a person at all times. You also do know that there's a gift that you are given, and when it's time to use that gift, you use it. But when you're not using that gift, you got to remember, we are human beings first. Then we got a gift on top of being a human being that adds to who we really are. If you get that vice versa, then you got your pride out of line, and of course it's easy for you to make a mistake and forget not being able to flip a switch because you don't even realize that there is a switch.
When you turned professional, you built a record of 15-0 with 15 knockouts before getting a pay-per-view fight, and you knocked out former world welterweight champion Jorge Vaca in the first round. And I'm just wondering, do you remember, obviously you were a puncher because you knocked those guys out in your first 15 fights, but do you remember when you went from being merely a fighter and being a true, complete boxer, what the fight was?
No, but I was a boxer then, just that those guys were way beneath me most of the time. And when the guys were beneath me, I refused to let them go to distance. And knowing that first few fighters, you had to prove yourself, and people just want to see where you're going to make mistakes, where you're going to take people lightly, where you're going to do what you're supposed to do. Anytime you gave me a guy that was not of my caliber, it was my job to get him out of there. So I knew how to box, But those guys weren't worthy of spending a whole amount of boxing on. Those guys were the type of guys that you need to get out of there if you're going to become a world champion. When it came time to fight the higher class guys, some of them weren't going to be able to knock out. And you had to know that. So when that happened, I think the first guy I fought that was a distance was Lester Yarbrough. And it wasn't that he was a great fighter, it was that he could take a lot. I mean, you could hit him across the head with an iron bucket. He wasn't going down. As a matter of fact, I damaged one of my hands on Lester Yarbrough because he wouldn't go down. But, however, I knew and expected that he wouldn't go down. I told my father that before the fight. I said, all he's going to do is make me hurt my hands, so why am I even fighting him? But my father insisted, so I went ahead and fought him.
I remember when I was a young sportscaster, one of the fights that I covered was Muhammad Ali's fight against Ken Norton down in San Diego. And you remember that fight probably where Norton broke the jaw of Muhammad Ali, but he continued on the rest of the way in that fight. And that brought to memory your 1993 fight against Bernard Hopkins, which you won on a unanimous decision to capture the IBF middleweight championship. And you broke your hand. What round did that happen, and how did you compensate for that broken hand to be able to finish the fight and also win it?
Actually, to be honest with you, I thought that the hand broke before the fight. It's just that I knew that I could out-jab him and beat him with basically one hand. So I knew I could win the first six rounds with a jab alone, and I knew I could win every other round after those six rounds to finally win 9-3. And I think I went up, went up maybe 10-2, but I had already – that's one fight I did carefully calculate because – I had kept it calculated because I was going into it with one hand. So my hand was broke before I really went in the fight.
And also in 1997, that first professional loss, does that still haunt you a little bit to Montel Griffin?
No, because it's just like with the Olympics. I mean, you can let it haunt you or you can just go ahead on and just be cool with it. But the problem is like I said, when I accidentally hit a guy that I didn't realize was down, the guy had a chance to look up at me, look up at the referee, then fake like he's out and go down. That's acting, and you got it live on tape, but you won't go back and look at it and reverse the decision. Same with the situation over in the Olympics. We got a robbery live on tape. Every time you look at it, Roy Jones Jr. clearly won the fight. Well, if we're humans and we're supposed to be such high characters and understand so much better, why don't we go back and right the wrong? Why don't we go back and fix it?
What did you learn out of that fight that you were able to apply to your career?
What fight?
The fight, the Montel Griffin fight.
I learned that don't listen to what the referee say because he's not always going to stick to his word. Because the referee said, he said, stop, stop. He never said stop. All he had to do was tell me one time to stop, and I would stop. But he said, also, no standing eight count. So if it's not a standing eight count, I'm going to go until you tell me to stop. Well, I think he down. I don't have time to look down and see if he touched the cameras or not. I got to go until you say stop. That's your job. But if you say stop, I will stop right there and walk away because you said stop. But he didn't say stop. And because he didn't say stop, it's not my fault if I keep going because I'm supposed to keep going until you say stop or until you grab me. That's what I learned, not to listen to referees too much.
Yeah, you had a series of three great matches against Antonio Tarver. Take me back to those three, and especially the first one in which you won that and also the super light heavyweight title when you won that match. Tell me about the three and what you remember out of those three matches.
What I remember out of the three matches, the first match, I remember that I wanted to complete my run with the history situation, which was Bob Fitzsimmons had won the middleweight title, the light heavyweight title, the heavyweight title, but he came back and recaptured the light heavyweight title afterwards to prove that he really was a legitimate light heavyweight and not really a heavyweight. So I said, if I go do it, I had to come back and recapture the light heavyweight title. It almost killed me to do it, but I did it because I gained about 15 pounds of muscle to put on the extra weight to go to heavyweight. And it was very difficult to lose that muscle to make the weight. So when I made it, I barely could even walk around at that weight, but I made it. And when I made it, I got in the fight. I remember by after the eighth round, last round one, I said, I don't have the energy to go no more. But God wouldn't let me quit. So he just said, you know what, get your mouthpiece, get up, get on back out there, go on and finish this off. You got to fight one, you're going to beat the guy, go on and finish beat him. Instinctively, you can beat on instincts alone. So I got up and I went out there and I beat on instincts alone. The second time, I went back to the Shieldstone so I could lose weight the right way. But, I got caught with a punch I never saw coming, and that's what happened to you. So I think I was more focused on, attacking. I wasn't even concerned about defense, and that's what caught me on the second fight. The third fight, it was a mixture of trying to rekindle a relationship with my father, trying to do a lot of things, which none of it really was focusing on the correct tactics to beat Antonio Tarver. I was more about being back reunited with my father and trying to make things work out what the way society thought was the right way, but it wasn't the right thing either. So that's why I'm in my third fight. But, you know, if and when we don't fight again, I know I've got to fight one, because if I can win the fight on anything, it's quite necessary I can win the fight on anything else. He's definitely not a better fighter, not a better boxer, because I beat him on guts alone and my pure boxing. So I'm never worried that I can't beat him. It's a matter of getting him back in the ring.
Roy, how would you characterize your relationship with your father?
Distant.
I mean, it was a difficult childhood. You've talked about it. You said, after a while, I didn't care about getting hurt or dying anymore. I was in pain all day, every day. I was so scared of my father, he'd pull up in his truck and start looking for something I had done wrong. There was no escape, no excuse, no way out of nothing. Have you come to grips as to why he felt that way about you?
Nope, and don't care. I just know that now the best thing I'm going to do is stay distant. Then I'm still to the left, and I'm still to the right.
When you look back on your career and the fights that you've had and everything, what are you most proud of?
Winning the heavyweight title. Knowing when I turned professional that the dream or the thought of becoming heavyweight champ wasn't even in my mind, wasn't even conceivable to me. And to see that God brought me and took me farther than my mind ever could have imagined me going, it's the biggest memory of my life.
And also, when you think about boxing, everybody has always pointed to the heavyweight division as being the defining division of boxing. Is that still true today, do you think, Roy?
No.
Is there a division that you think is the defining division for boxing today, then?
No, there's not a defining division. Just like we were back in those days, the defining division is where the defining fighter is. If you think about it, when I was on top, the defining division was wherever Roy Jones went. When Floyd Miller was on top, the defining division is wherever Floyd Miller is. When Oscar De La Hoya was on top, the defining division is wherever Oscar went. When Mike Tyson was on top or Muhammad Ali was on top, the defining division is wherever those guys went. So most of the time, even when Lennox Lewis being a heavyweight champion, my division was the defining division because I was the man that was on top of the world at that time. People saw and knew who Lennox Lewis was, but they wanted to see Roy Jones Jr. So the heavyweight division is a great division, don't get me wrong, but people say that's the defining division. No, it's not. He had the most defining champion because Muhammad Ali made everybody know who the heavyweight champion was when he was the heavyweight champion. You understand me? He made America know that he was the heavyweight champion of the world. He made the whole world know that Muhammad Ali was the heavyweight champion of the world.
That's
why that division got the mystique of being the defining division.
One thing I do know, Roy, in talking to pro athletes over the years, the ones that have been on championship teams, they're proud of that championship ring. Now, of course, the belt goes along with championships in boxing. But in your particular case, you were called the best pound-for-pound fighter in the world by Boxing Magazine. Is that the label that most boxers would love to be able to reach someday?
I'm sure they would, but quite naturally, they also understand that probably won't happen because there's usually one guy out of a pile of guys who are on top. So it's not likely that everybody's going to reach that plateau because most people don't have what it takes to be considered amongst that level of boxing. That's an elite. That's like the best of the best champions. You know what I'm saying? So that's saying even more than what just a champion is saying. Like you say, you're the best champion of all the champions that are currently champions. You understand me? That's a heck of a statement. So, no, I don't think most boxers aspire to be that because that's almost an impossible feat that they're looking for when they first step into it. How can you be pound-for-pound the best when first you got to learn how to be the best? A lot of them can't even get to be the best at their weight division. They struggle to be the best, period. So you got to first get among the elite to be considered pound-for-pound the best of the elite and want to be the best of the best.
Roy, I want to thank you very much for joining us on Sports Byline. I always enjoy our conversations. You give great insight into the sport of boxing, and congratulations on your championship, on your great career as well. Thanks a lot, Roy.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Thank you, and God bless you to all the troops that are protecting this country all over the world.
Roy Jones Jr. with us on Sports Byline. He captured numerous world titles in the middleweight, super middleweight, also light heavyweight and the heavyweight divisions, and you heard him say that he is very proud about winning that championship in the heavyweight division. He also is the only boxer in history to start his career as a light middleweight at 154 pounds and then go on to win a heavyweight title. And his boxing record, 55 wins, 40 KOs, and 8 losses. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.